It's when I was living in Washington, D.C., and it was a fundraising event. It's kind of a formal event, as I recall, that it was at a fancy home, and not really sure what I was doing there, but I happened to be there. There were a number of priests there, and there was a priest standing by himself and just made some small talk with him and discovered that he was from New York. And the conversation ensued about an interest in baseball, and I couldn't help but make some very disparaging remarks. They were all true, but disparaging remarks about the New York Yankees. And then he revealed that he was a bishop. We really want to be measured before we make conclusions about people. And I struggle with that, sometimes more than others. The rush to deciding before all of the facts are assembled. Our Lord has a lot to say about that in the gospel today from the 7th chapter of Luke's gospel. A Pharisee named Simon, a Pharisee, remember what a Pharisee is? It's really important that we know what that is if we're even going to begin to understand our Lord's point. The Pharisees are those who are really uber religious, where there is an intensity with ritual purity, with perfect following of laws. If we were to meet a Pharisee, we would find them most likely tightly wound and probably feel some measure of judgment, because no matter what we're doing, it's not going to quite measure up to the perfect actions that they themselves are practicing. So this person invites Jesus to his home. It kind of leads me to wonder, why? Why do you invite Jesus over? We find out more of the motivations as the story ensues. Jesus will go on to say that in contrast to this woman, the Pharisee, Simon, the host, the one who has invited Jesus into his home, hasn't even bothered to extend normal hospitality. Typical features of greeting someone in the time and the age of our Lord. Hospitality that includes, as Jesus goes on to explain, no water poured over my feet. That with the wearing of sandals and the dustiness of feet, that was a typical to have a basin and to pour some water over the feet. Just like we have certain customs when we invite someone into our homes, there's a certain way that we greet, there's a politeness that we extend. So too was their practice in the time of our Lord, that include such an outreach of a basin and water. So too did it include a kiss, a warm embrace. Now, some of us are familiar with Mediterranean cultures to this day that is much more expressive in their greeting than perhaps we are in our own culture. But nevertheless, we have a warmth and a connectedness, a touch that we extend. And our Lord said, "You didn't. There was none of that." And an anointing, or the sharing of oil as well, which also was not practiced. The true motivations of this host are coming to play, that it really wasn't about warmly welcoming. Maybe it was a curiosity, maybe it was an intrigue that he had about Jesus. Maybe he was just seeking to prove that Jesus wasn't half the follower of the law that he was. Whatever the case, our Lord contrasts the Pharisee with this woman, who earlier in the passage is described as a sinful woman. Now in verse 47, this is chapter 7 of Luke's gospel, the passage, the translation is misleading that we hear at the Mass, which is unfortunate, but it's a really important point. It's a point that makes or breaks our understanding of the passage. We heard a verse that said that her many sins were forgiven because She showed such great love. Because doesn't occur in the original language. It's not there. I don't know why it's in the version that we have. An accurate translation of the original language reads something along these lines. It's our Lord saying that her many sins must have been forgiven, or she would not have shown such great love. What am I getting at? That she wasn't there to try to win Jesus over and to win his favor and to get what she wanted with forgiveness. She had already been forgiven. There had been an encounter that is not recorded in the gospel, but something had happened where the mercy of the Lord had been received and she had been moved, that this tremendous, extravagant outpouring of love that we see in her actions is a sign of mercy and forgiveness having been received. She's not trying to woo Jesus over to lessen her burden in that action. She can't but express love because she has previously received a mercy and forgiveness that she craved to find. She's been freed from these sins that have just ensnared her, restricted her, prevented her from experiencing the best version of herself, the godly version of herself. Boy, do I have understandings of this action. I have understandings of being different when I'm forgiven. That when I acknowledge my sins and receive the forgiveness of others and Almighty God, it moves me to act differently. It moves me to be more sensitive to the struggles of other people's plights, in large part because I'm acutely aware of my own struggles. That instead of suspending the difficulties and the challenges that are uniquely mine and pretending that they don't exist, and heaping judgment upon those whom I encounter, the degree to which I am aware of my own sinfulness and my having been forgiven when I contritely acknowledge my sins becomes the degree to which I act differently, which in the gospel text is love more. It's so important, friends, not to have to posture to be someone who we're not, but simply to be real and authentic, presenting ourselves sinful and broken as we are to the Lord. Sometimes that leads us to the sacrament of reconciliation, which the Lord so beautifully provides for us. It always gives us the occasion in our own awareness to just simply seek the forgiveness that we need in that moment. When we become aware of needing it, to call out to the Lord and to extend ourselves to others appropriately for their pardon and peace. In my best moments, which I wish were more often than they are, but in my best moments, I want to have great love. I don't want to have great judgment. I want to have great love. The Pharisee proclaimed judgment. Jesus proclaims repentance. Repentance, metanoia, two words there. Meta and nous, to go beyond one's mind, to be different, to live differently. That was the proclamation of Jesus. Repentance. And repentance leads to the forgiveness of sins, to the reception of divine mercy, which leads to a great loving. That's the formula that's given to us by our Lord. That's an instruction for life that is made available for all of us to live. Let's stay.